Film Review, The Battle of Chile Part 1. Oisin Duncan, Socialist Party Northwest Organizer. The events leading up to, and including the Chilean coup on the 9th of September 1973 were documented on film by Patricio Guzman and other journalists, including Leonardo Henriksen, who was actually killed by the army in a premature assault on government buildings in June 1973. Due to the intensity of the class struggle and tempo of events, part one of the four-part series, fittingly titled The Struggle of an Unarmed People, covers only the period between the parliamentary election in March 73 and that abortive coup attempt by the No. 2 Regiment of the Chilean Army. As Guzman himself claims as narrator, once seeing that Allen's Unidad Popular, UP, ticket had increased their votes in March, the so-called defenders of freedom gradually turned to anti-democratic and increasingly violent means. For example, immediately after UP's electoral victory was confirmed, right-wing supporters came out and rioted, having been whipped up, to believe this was a fraudulent result. This would not be the last time the ruling class used violence to try and undermine Allen's legitimacy. The specter of the September coup, aided and abetted by the CIA and US imperialism more broadly, looms over the entirety of this part of Guzman's documentary. For evolutionaries in the present day, the eventual outcome of Allen's government should only encourage us to study these events keenly, rather than dismiss the heroics of the Chilean workers and even the actions of Allen himself, as reformist, a betrayal or other epithets. In fact, the possibility of eventual defeat was not lost on Allen's supporters at the time. Guzman conducts many brief interviews with supporters of both UP and the right-wing opposition parties, and one young worker at a UP rally tells him, "We are fighting hard to win a big majority, but we know that this election is not everything. Of course we are trying to win, but when we do that will not solve or avoid the problem of the civil war in Chile. The civil war is inevitable, it is fundamental." The foresight demonstrated by that young UP supporter summarizes the tragic trend of Allen's time in power. Time and again, his supporters and the broader working class could see the coming attacks of the capitalist class more clearly than Allen could. After the election, the economic sabotage of the Chilean bosses, assisted by US imperialism, tried to make the economy scream, in US President Richard Nixon's words. To hammer home this lining up of forces within and without Chile against the UP government, one supporter of the right-wing opposition interviewed before the March election launches into a tirade against the destruction of Chile by disgusting Marxist forces. The working class clearly did not let up, after sweeping Allen and the UP to a stronger position in parliament. In response to manufactured shortages, UP set up committees on provisions and prices, JAPs, local grassroots networks in working class areas which were intended to root out speculation, hoarding and other economic crimes. They went beyond this brief and some began to organize food distribution wholesale, issuing ration cards, and repossessing hoarded goods. This process, of the working class stepping ahead of the political limits of their leaders, would continue through 1973, and is a key feature of revolutionary situations. In fact, this is a real shortcoming of the reformist approach taken by Allen and other leaders of the UP coalition. To match the constantly advancing aims of the working class in struggle, it is necessary to link their immediate demands to the general struggle to transform society in a socialist direction. For an example drawn from outside this part of the documentary, other working class organizations, the Cordones Industriales, or Industrial Belts, formed to knit together trade union activists, the unemployed and urban poor. During an attempt by the Transport Bosses Association to starve the cities by preventing food deliveries, the Cordones took on the responsibility for organizing alternative transport, defended truck drivers accused of strike breaking, and ultimately broke this attack from the Chilean bourgeoisie. The actions of the working class often came from their own initiative, encouraged after the fact by Allen, but rarely initiated by him or the parties involved with UP. Allen, his background on the right wing of the Socialist Party of Chile, was attempting to win reforms through parliamentary means. Against a background of intimidation from right-wing opposition parties, including the murder of worker activist José Humada, Allen and his supporters were wary of provoking a coup d'état. Unfortunately for Allen, the coup was going to take place regardless of timing. The Cordones were increasingly beginning to play a role organizing aspects of society, and, together with the Japs, forming element of dual power, where the working class is moving towards taking over the running of society, but capitalist rule and its state machine have not yet been broken. Neither class has full control in running society. Such a situation, however, cannot continue indefinitely. One class or the other must ultimately take control. During the 1917 Russian Revolution, Soviets played that role, elected bodies of workers and soldiers developing an independent political program in the interests of the working class and masses. Ultimately, the working class took power in Russia through the All-Russia Congress of Soviets, and under the political leadership of the Bolshevik Party. Revolutions don't all follow a Soviet blueprint. Organizations develop organically, and contending political forces determine their program and action. In Chile, the role of the cordones and the Japs was not developed on a firm basis, with bodies brought together at a regional and national level. They could have provided an invaluable counterweight to the UP government's increasingly timid policies. The final climax of part 1 of Guzman's documentary hints that this was the direction in which the working class in Chile was heading. Mass demonstrations in support of Allen's government took place, and the masses were demanding weapons to protect their chosen leaders. In Allen's admirable desire for a peaceful path to socialism, he denied this demand, and in fact, tried to appear more left-wing at that point, suggesting that more powers would be given to the Japs and the cordones. And yet, as the film ends with the image of a Chilean army officer murdering Leonardo Henriksen, the terrible bloodletting during and after the CIA-sponsored coup in September of 1973 occurred despite Allen's best intentions. He himself would meet a violent end on the 11th of September as the Air Force he was theoretically in charge of bombed the presidential palace. Tens of thousands of militant worker activists were then sealed into their factories and workplaces, before being moved to huge detention centers, like the one in the National Football Stadium in Santiago, to be tortured, killed, or intimidated so that General Augusto Pinochet's regime could be consolidated. That is the price of failing to understand the necessary course for a revolution. In such a heightened form of class struggle, the working class is faced with a stark choice. This is to either throw off the shackles of capitalism, beat back the reaction of the capitalist state and begin to build a new form of society, or to allow the exploiters to reassert control with every violent means of repression at their disposal. That is the reason that we as Marxists have to study events like these in as much detail as possible, to avoid taking the latter option in future class battles. In this sense, the Battle of Chile provides an invaluable resource in observing the real-time dynamics, perspectives, and outcomes of the struggle for socialism. Battle of Chile is distributed by Icarus Films.